Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chablewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we got our monster trucks out.
Dude, this is a fantastic label here, man. This is 4x4 from 93 Octane.
St. Charles, Illinois.
Dude, there is a gigantic navy blue monster truck on the cover of this fucking thing.
Yeah, so 4x4 is a double dry hopped double IPA.
DDH DIPA.
Yeah. And it was packaged in January.
Okay. So it's holding on.
It's 8.7%, and it's still packing a pretty big punch. I want to say maybe the hops have like faded just a touch, but and it's maybe a little more booze forward feeling, but you know, that's 3 months, so probably not. Maybe I'm just like projecting that feeling.
Citra and Mosaic. And it's driving over a hop field, the 4x4.
Yeah, so I didn't have this one when I was at 93 Octane, but it was like seemed like one of their flagships, one of their main beers, so I felt like it was a beer to grab.
This is a good-looking can, man. I'm very excited to have this.
Yeah, I'm digging this. We're going to be probably like a little loopy if we knock back a couple of these.
Yeah. That's us lately, man. We can't hold our liquor all of a sudden.
Yeah. So getting into things right away here, I traveled out to the suburbs again.
Yeah, suburb Brad, live and direct.
Oakbrook, and went to Alter. Mm. So I have one more Alter to go to.
So the original one is in Downers Grove.
Yeah.
You've been in there, St. Charles, mm-hmm. And then there's Oakbrook.
Yeah.
I think the Oakbrook is the newest one.
Yeah, I might go to Downers Grove tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna go to Goldfinger.
You're gonna touch them all. Ooh, Goldfinger. Oh man, they make them good. They make good stuff.
The burger guy.
Oh, the burger guy's gonna be there?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that's gonna be.
And it's,
oh, that's
it's
gonna be
good.
Good
Friday. I'm not working. Oh, man, I'm good to go.
Damn.
But maybe I'll go to Alter just to knock it off the list.
You could start, I guess, start or finish at Alter, right?
Start and finish?
Start, start or finish.
Oh, okay. Start or finish. Start there. Go to Goldfinger.
You don't need. There's only so much Alter you need. I mean,
I've already been to two of them, and it's good, but it's not three locations good.
I mean,
the space is impressive, though. Oak Park one. Like even the St. Charles
one
is really nice too. On the river there.
It's nice, like the Oakbrook one.
Yeah, it's like there's a lot more glass, and you could kind of like see so. They got some deep pockets.
Got some cash, some influx of cash over at the old Alter.
Yeah, they make some nice looking spaces, and the beer is good. There's nothing like to complain about their beer. It's good beer, but the space is nicer.
Yeah, their Cherry Ballot and Creek took a mellow Phobap 1 year. I think it was like King's Blood from Alter.
I don't remember what I had this last time, but he got the Tom Thanks, which I mentioned a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
Great beer. Don't remember what I had, yeah. But it was good. Space is nice.
It's like right by the mall. I feel like Oakbrook, all of Oakbrook is one big mall.
Yeah.
Like running nonstop malls.
We were going to Gibson's for a thing, and Gibson's, you can't park at Gibson's. It's valet only.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, you know, parked at Alter, went to Alter first, so we didn't, like, just, you know, mooch on their parking lot. And then, like, snuck around so no one knew our car was still there and went over to Gibson's.
There you go. Oakbrook's one of those towns where if you're in Oakbrook, you don't really have to leave Oakbrook. There's a lot of fun stuff to get into in Oakbrook. As far as on the dining and drinking
cheesecake
side.
Cheesecake Factory.
I mean, come on. Who doesn't like a nice piece of cheesecake?
I don't remember the last... Honestly, I don't think I've been to a Cheesecake Factory.
I can't say I've eaten there. I have had the cheesecake.
It is
worthy of naming the place Cheesecake Factory. The cheesecake. You name his face. All right, cool. It's good. The cheesecake is that good.
But they have all kinds of other foods.
They have a sister restaurant downtown. I can't think of the name of it.
Applebee's.
No, it's not Applebee's.
Oh, Grand Lux.
Yes.
I've been to Grand Lux.
Okay, so they're the same.
Yeah, I think. I've been there.
Yeah, it's like the same crew, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, Alter. Check out Alter if you're sleeping on Alter. That they have 3 locations, it's kind of shocking. It's like the Pollyanna having 50 locations.
It's this burb thing, man. Each village wants their own fucking brewery. So you got Suburban Crews that don't even bother having a city presence. They're like, we're just going to... Well, it's the Moore effect. I think Moore might have been the first crew to do this.
Yeah.
And now you're starting to see it.
But it feels very suburban to have basically chain breweries in like a place where you can have a Cheesecake Factory in every... couple suburbs.
And now that we're saying it out loud, there is a precedent before Moore, right? Because there's
Rock Bottom.
Thank you, Gordon Biersch. And there's another one where they, goddamn, it was in, one was in Schaumburg, and they would truck in the wort and ferment it on site. They're all closed now. But those chain breweries even predate the Moore thing. You're right.
Yeah.
What's the name of that
crew?
There
was one in Naperville over by the Maggiano's.
Fuck, I'm drawing a blank. There. But yeah, those
City Beer Works.
Maybe. I can't think of the name of it.
That sounds like
it sounds like it.
That's all it.
But yeah.
So the suburban, the chain thing, I think.
Corporate chain craft breweries at craft and quotes. That is the precedent for what we're seeing today.
We're like, we got 2 half acres. That's too many.
Yeah.
We need just one. Just stick to the one.
But I tell you what we need. Tell you what we do need. I mean, more power to them, man. Mm-hmm. It must be working, or they wouldn't have built the third one, right?
That's true.
So,
and yeah, they're making good beer. I wonder. I'd love to talk to someone over at Alter if every brewery has a different brewer, because it's the same beers at all of them.
I think 2 of the 3 are the same. But I think the one in Oakbrook, well, they got those big tanks. So at some point. The big fooders. At some point, that's just going to be just for their wild culture stuff.
But they're brewing the same beer, so is it just the same recipe, different brewers? Is someone brewing at one location and then moving it all around? Like, where do we brew our black IPA at? Like, I'm blanking at that place.
Are you talking about, you're not talking about dry hopping those guys, right?
Where we brewed the beer.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, they're going to hate us if they listen to this shit. Oh, Emmett's.
Emmett's, yeah. Where he's like, mostly, they brew mostly at that one spot, and then they, didn't he say they like...
St. Charles, and then they're in Downers Grove. St. Right, Charles, Downers Grove, and there's a third one, a bigger one. Palatine? Is that where Dirty Nelly's is? Because this is by Dirty Nelly's. Okay. So we'll say Palatine.
But so he was saying he brews at the mall, right?
Yeah, I think he touches the mall. But some crews have a brewmaster at each one. Or a head brewer. I guess it'd be a head brewer at each one.
Yeah. Because you'd be mad if you went to one Alter or one Emmett's and you're like, oh, I love the IPA. And I'm like, I have an IPA, but they don't like the one I like.
I think it's all connected. The Rock Bottoms all have different programs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Alters are all connected. Different focus, but they're all connected. Like, you'll see all the beers. It's kind of like Forbidden Root.
Right.
You know, you'll see... Sure, they got a bunch of fooders at Forbidden Root, the one that in Ravenswood, but you'll see all the beers at both of them.
Okay, yeah.
Or at all 3 of them, because there's one in fucking Ohio.
That's true.
Yeah. For no other reason other than they got money from, like, Columbus.
That's true, yeah, for the Columbus one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Alter. That's a ramble on the Oakbrook. You're not far from the Moore over there.
What is that? The original Moore, Villa Park?
Yeah, and the Noon Whistle's not that far from there. You got the Whiskey Hill, really not too far from there either. So you got a lot of options if you're out in the Oakbrook area.
That's true.
So, yeah, check that out. That was like my main suburb stop this week. But you were
love it
across town and across state.
Yeah,
in another state.
In a whole other state. I started off wanting to go to Brothership.
And, Tinley Park.
And Mokena. So the town next to Tinley.
Oh, it's yeah. not even, I thought there was four in Tinley Park.
There's, no, it's oh, Brotherships in Tinley. No, I thought it was Tinley too, but Brotherships in Mokena.
So they're out.
Yeah, so is there a fourth in Tinley? Maybe not.
I thought they were the fourth.
Yeah, but they're in Mokena. I got lost trying to get to it. I passed it completely. It's in one of those urban strip malls, one of those industrial strip parks that's got multiple, I guess it's like three in a row. All the buildings look the same, though.
Yeah.
It was one of those.
That's what SoundGrowler looks like.
Yeah. So I went to Brothership. Barely space debris is what I heard about them.
Okay.
Super clean, super neat space, but it kind of your standard setup, you know.
Open. Do they have food?
They do not have food. Okay. You can get your pretzels and your sausage sticks and that sort of thing.
Bag of chips.
So I just went and went straight for the big dark beer, the big dark barrel aged beer. Yeah, and it's a Brothership has like a space theme. Like there's Area 51 stuff stamped. There's pillows stamped with like, you know, aliens and their spaceships crashing into the bar, this sort of thing. Like the space theme is kind of their thing.
Okay.
And all the beers are named have that loose space theme too.
Okay.
So I just got started there. That was stop number one.
Okay, and then you drove all the way for first stop there, and then you had three other options. Did you continue that romp?
No. And this is when, you know, we're sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, like, well, I kind of want to hit this Gnosis Brewing, because Brothership and Gnosis are two spots that I just see in FB groups, but don't know anything about. So I'm like, well, I want to go to Gnosis, but Gnosis is in Maryville, Indiana, and I'm in Mokena. And this is a legit, like, I don't know, 45-minute ride.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So we're like, well, we got to stop and eat somewhere first. And then I'm with Shalana. She's like, well, I've been to this spot called the Fuzzy Line in Highland, Indiana, which is the midway point. Okay. So we stopped there for eats and for to get some more beers.
Is that a brewery? Or
it's a brewery with a tap room. So it's a brew pub.
Okay.
It's a brew pub. Man, these are some good-looking spaces, man. I think the Fuzzy Line is a guy who used to be a pipe fitter, and he just started his own brewery. Yeah, and I think he entered a beer into competition. And people like, this is very much the BCS story. People liked the beer, but it got kicked out. And he's like, man, and I think one of the judges said, hey, it just rode that fuzzy line where it didn't quite meet the criteria of this this
that's
style.
Got the name?
So the name is Fuzzy Line. The name is Fuzzy Line Brewery. It's kind of funny.
Otherwise, it was going to be the pipe fitter. And be like, not a gay club.
We were, you know, it was either that or the guy who lays pipe. So they went with Fuzzy Line, and the food here is really good. The beers, really, it was so bizarre. I'm like, I've never heard of this place, but they're doing good stuff. Mm-hmm. And they had a flight of Three Floyds whiskeys. You were talking about the Three Floyds stuff.
Yeah.
They had like four of them called the Mashup, the Munster Mashup. So you can get a pour of all of them for $20.
Oh, that's...
So I did that.
Well, how many were there?
There were like four. There was a rum, a gin, a whiskey, and an aquavit.
That's a pretty good deal.
I'm like, I'm never buying this gin. This gin's like fucking $80 in the store. Right. So that was fun. That was memorable. Hmm. Yeah. So cool. Now we're at two stops. So now we're
in Indiana.
In Indiana. Where Highland is on the, I think, like a border town.
Okay.
And then I make it over to Maryville.
Okay. I don't cross state lines very often.
We are way the fuck out here. I'm not even sure what's going on. You start to guess why. We start to second guess, why am I even out this fucking far?
Yeah. But you cross the state line, you're getting a ticket. That's like basically why I don't leave the state, because Indiana, it's like, hey, you're in a car, we just might as well give you a ticket.
I got pinged for something in Indiana once, a different time, called Scott's Law on the highway. So apparently you have to get over immediately if someone's pulled over. But it was so much traffic that I wasn't able to get over. And then to come to find out, the guy was a plant. So he had someone fake pulled over just to leave that guy and come pull me over.
Isn't that like some weird entrapment shit?
I'm like, and now I gotta go. He's like, yeah, you gotta pay this fine. I'm like, you come back here and pay it, or you can mail it in. It'd be cheaper if you came here and paid it.
I'm like, I'm not coming back to Indiana.
I'm like, here, I don't give a fuck what it costs. I'm never coming back.
Here you are.
Oh, but anyway, so then we finally make it to Gnosis Brewing in Maryville, Indiana. And I'm walking up to the door, and I'm like, dude, I've been here before. And so that's the first question I asked the dudes. And they're like, yeah, man, this used to be the Devil's Trumpet. I don't know if you've been at the Devil's Trumpet, but
no.
It was just a brewery in Indiana in the South Burbs. Chicagoland on the Indiana side.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing really memorable about the Devil's Trumpet, other than the name. It was a cool name.
Right.
But the beers were kind of forgettable. I couldn't even tell you what I had. I think they had a Wild Irish Rose Stout or some bullshit, right?
I feel like this Devil's Trumpet could have been the Pipefitters, like, name of the place, too.
Oh, there is a connection there. Oh, but this guy. But this guy. So the Devil's Trumpet is now a place called Gnosis Brewing with a G. G-N-O-S-I-S. And they're home to a meadery. So these are two different companies, and they share the space. Cool. Manic Meadery and then Gnosis Brewing.
I haven't even heard of them.
Manic, I feel like, is the more popular meadery, and they've been around longer. And they're like, yeah, they have a huge presence. So a lot of what we sell offsite is their stuff.
Okay.
But they share a space with Manic. And it's a gorgeous space, man. They have a barrel room. And I'm like, this project looks like it was done by people who like nice things. It doesn't look like a startup or a bootstrap thing. And he's like, yeah, man, I was in... He was in design for an ad agency for like 10 years. And the guy we're talking to, he designed the space. But then he's like, yeah, the guy who does all the brewing on the Gnosis side, this is his very first brewery. And he was a home brewer.
Oh, shit.
So you start to see this connection between Fuzzy Line and Gnosis, where their roots are completely entrenched in home brewing. And this is their first project. And they've got some buzz in some circles. So. That's interesting.
And the beers are all good?
I really enjoyed their stouts. They're playing in the non-barrel-aged adjunct space for some of their stouts. So
that's kind of nice.
Yeah. That and these meads, man. Some killer meads. So that was a good stop. Their IPAs were on the, like, super weird, super fruity, hazy, nectary side.
Okay.
I didn't like those, but I did enjoy these stouts.
I'm sure, like, as a... IPA or hop forward brewery in Indiana or that close to even Three Floyds, you got to be like, well, why would someone buy my IPA over something that Three Floyds is doing, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Or then what's the other big one in, was it in Bloomington? There's another like huge.
Upland?
Well, not Upland, there's the other one. I can't even think of their name anymore.
Okay. Another Indiana brewery?
Yeah, it's pretty big. Cans.
Oh, Sun King.
Sun King.
Yeah, Sun King.
So it's like, how do you compete on IPA first in Indiana versus Three Floyds or Sun King?
When you put it in those terms, I think you're right. There was a couple at the bar from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and they came down. They were like, yeah, we love Michigan, but Michigan's more of an export state. So a lot of beers don't come to Michigan because Michigan has friendly laws on having breweries and distilleries and even dispensaries come to Michigan.
Oh, okay.
So to get non-Michigan beer, you got to kind of leave Michigan. You can't buy it there in most cases.
Mm.
So they drive down. And I'm like, that sounds kind of crazy. But then I thought about it. I'm like, I just been in a car for a fucking hour. And all I did was go from one server up to another. So, it's not that crazy. I think we forget how lucky we are, man. You can go an hour in any direction. Like, if in the middle of the day, you could probably get to fucking where Journeyman and Greenbush is in Southwest Michigan, in Bridgman, Haymarket.
You get up to Green Bay or even Madison.
You can go 90 minutes in any direction and have a completely different market of beers.
Except
for going to Kankakee.
All right, well, we'll get to
that. Okay.
Oh, but 90 minutes is only really going to get you to, like, Aurora.
Yeah.
Going south.
But yeah, it was a good romp, man. I had a good time. So cheers to those places, man. Whew.
Yeah. Okay. Did you say you stopped at 18th Street, too?
Oh, yeah, that's right. So Shalana got a call, and we ended up at 18th Street. So, yeah, not
do
for
they still do ramen?
No, we didn't have that. We went to the distillery part.
But do they still do
ramen? I don't know. I didn't see. I didn't look at the menu. At one point, all right, so 18th Street is a brewery and a distillery. The brewery came first. They're connected next door. And at one point, the brewery had a ramen dish on. Yeah.
But I feel like I don't even know an 18th Street beer, but I know that they had ramen at one point. That's what I know of 18th Street at this point.
Their labels are very very art forward, very like character forward, like kind of it all kind of runs together, right? I know a few of their beers. I don't know if I could name like five of them. They're constantly rotating names.
Okay.
And they all have wacky labels. They love the hoppy styles, and then they like lagers.
Yeah.
So, okay. And stouts. I think Hunter's their big stout series. So, but at the end of the block was their sister project, the Sour Note, was a different building at the end of the block. And we're with Holly, and she's like, they are now a new brewery called the Foreign Local. So we should go down there.
Okay.
So we ended up walking down there.
Nice.
Yeah. So the
Foreign.
The Foreign Local, I got some glassware from there because their logo I thought was really cool. There's a couple of different ones. They had a dry Everstyle Nitro, so that's what I drank. Mm. And I think they ordered some flights. But by that time, man, I was all the way in. I was kind of overserved, honestly. Yeah. So I got the dry Irish Stout at 5%. It was good. It came in a gigantic fucking... the same.
At the point you're realizing you're in Indiana.
I'm like, how the fuck do I get out of here? How far are we from the... You can then start measuring, okay, do I go get some food and chill for a bit?
Right.
Or how... Let's talk about how far I am to the highway. Because if I get to the highway, I'm good.
Okay. You know,
and I can get out of here. But yeah, I was at that point. Mm-hmm. But
that's not good.
No.
Do not recommend that. No. Have someone driving that keeps everyone safe. That's not drinking.
Yeah.
Damn, that's quite an adventure.
It was very fun. It was a lot. I think we went to like 5 breweries.
Okay.
Yeah.
While you were out that way, that was like last Saturday, I was just on my bike. So I was biking and drinking. I went to Strong Beer Town.
Oh, man. The Spring Half Acre Beer Festival.
Yeah. This has everything that could be amazing about this.
Yeah.
If it was like 10 degrees warmer.
Ah.
You're outside. It's outside. It was all outside.
Yeah.
You couldn't even go inside.
It was like high, upper 30s, right? Something like that.
Yeah, maybe 40. We had gloves on. You couldn't even go inside. They wouldn't even let you go into the bathroom because it was closed off for an employee party or something.
Hmm.
I was like, you have a beer fest going on. Why do you have an employee party also going on?
But, a little weird.
So went to this.
Strong, the first annual Strong Beer Time.
Yeah. And the DJ was going strong.
Really? Good DJ.
Everybody was dancing just to stay warm kind of feeling. As the day went on a little bit, it's sort of like first beer, perfect temperature, you're feeling good. And the second one, you're like, should have just left, man. I'm getting cold.
Yeah.
But I wanted to try some of these other beers.
Yeah, because they had some friends, right? They had...
They had Elsewhere.
Which I think is like Atlanta.
Yeah. Goldfinger.
Okay.
And Dovetail.
Yeah. And you never see guest beers, I don't think, at Half Acre. Right, like, so, not on draft.
So, I wasn't clear on, like, all the styles. There's some box. There's just some dark lagers. But that's kind of the same thing, right? And so, I wasn't super clear on why there was two Goldfingers, two Elsewhere, two Dovetails. But the problem was they wouldn't tap the second one until the first one ran out.
Oh, from this guest breweries? Yeah.
And so I got there, I got the Goldfinger, and I was like, oh, well, I want to try the other Goldfinger. It's called Black Lager. Like, no, we got to wait till this one taps. It's like, it's like 40 degrees out here. I'm not waiting for this to tap? What?
You need to go ahead and tap this beer, my guy.
Yeah.
It's a fest. Why wouldn't you just tap them all?
Because that was like the taps that they had, but they had another like tap line area of their big stouts. They had Benthic and stuff. Mm-hmm. No one was in line for that.
Really?
You could walk up there and have your beer within like 2 seconds. But the line for all the dark lagers, you're waiting like 15 minutes.
I think that was the most exciting thing about the description. Mm-hmm. Was that, well, I don't know Half Acre to make a Bock, and maybe they have. I don't know them to make a my Bock. And then you don't really get around to drinking Goldfinger. And I never even heard of this other place.
Yeah.
But you never drink Goldfinger and Dovetail at that same party.
Yeah.
So
move those stouts to the, like, window. Because they had the window going with other Half Acre beers, like everything but Fader.
All right, rest in peace, Fader, man.
Move the stouts there and open up both lines to, like, let me get either one of these Goldfinger beers. I don't know. I'm not... started at 1 o'clock. I'm not waiting around till like 6 o'clock to get the other Goldfinger beer.
You're like, no, you need. How can you have dessert if you didn't eat your peas?
Yes, yeah, so that's what they're doing you. I got the one Goldfinger beer, and then I had one of the elsewhere beers, the Czech lager that they had.
Yeah.
At that point, we are cold, and we decide that we got to warm up, so we go over Spiteful.
Oh.
And Spiteful was packed because everyone was cold as shit over there.
That's funny.
Even the outside at Spiteful with their heat lamps was packed.
What about the heat lamp situation here at this
thing? They had like campfires going.
Kind of like garbage cans, kind of with the
like hobo? Right. No, like well, shit, outdoor little fire pits like people have on their patios.
Okay, gotcha.
Not, yeah, on their,
but you know, it's not being backyards. Not being too funny though. But that's how the one time I got into Goose Island's prop day. They were legit fucking trash cans. And everyone smelled like barbecue. I didn't have it because it was super fucking cold.
It's like a block away. There are like hobo or the unhoused with trash cans and fire pits.
Oh,
so you might not have been at Goose Island for that.
The hippos got on Brad about calling them homeless. So okay. Now he calls them
unhoused.
So now he calls them unhoused. Marilee and Carl Hippo.
Got this strong beer time. It's like so close to like being awesome, and it just relies on the weather. Like, if some of it could have been maybe inside without the like employee event or something, then you could have went inside outside. Maybe that would have helped with the temperature issue. But
or even because, like you said, they're pouring from their wall. Behind that wall is the brewery that's indoors,
right? But that was closed for whatever the employee event was.
Interesting. So yeah, okay.
But if it was 10 degrees warmer, that first Goldfinger or first elsewhere might have tapped within like an hour or two. Mm-hmm. And then you're, because everyone would be like, yeah, let's go. But it's that cold, you're just kind of like, well, I have my one beer, I'm warming up a little bit, but now I'm cold.
Yeah,
so it's like a weird, it's just too cold.
That's too bad.
But it was a night. It's a very cool event. Like it's right as climate change happens, it will be a better event.
No,
as it gets warmer.
Just like with everything, right? Whether it's opening day or Bug or Dark Lord Day,
or St. Patrick's Day, sometimes it could be super nice.
Yeah, you're like, fuck this. It's, you know. Oh, did you have a favorite of any of these lagers? Because they're all big lagers. They're all big dark lagers, right?
Yeah. Well, the elsewhere was a Czech lager.
Okay.
And it was like 4.5%. That sucked.
Okay.
Like it was. I was like, I wish I would have had the second Goldfinger, or just would have got the Goldfinger one. I didn't even have Half Acres Springbok.
What about fancy cups? Because sometimes that can be part of the draw when you're drinking lagers. Is the option
clear plastic cups? It's okay. Outside. It's outside.
That's true.
Clear plastic cups.
Okay. Huh.
But I didn't get the Half Acre Springbok because I was like, I can probably make it back here to get this Half Acre beer.
I feel like they need to, you know, strong beer time. You need to give me the option of purchasing a big fancy cup, even if it's made out of wood. Like if I
wood,
like the sketch,
like splinters and shit.
Remember, I was gonna go. can you carve me out of block of wood and make it into a cup shape, please? A fancy one, would you? No. Remember, I was going to go to Scratch, and part of the draw was that they had these wooden steins, right? Or we've done a reel for Oktoberfest. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're, you know. The kind of wood you would drink out of.
But no one in Lederhosen, because it is a, I believe this is like an October, not Oktoberfest event, but it is like a German event.
Yeah.
But no one in Lederhosen.
Yeah, Maybach is what I think traditionally it like welcomes spring. It's the style that welcomes spring. End of winter.
Yeah.
So, okay.
It was neat, but knowing that they listened when we complained about our Big Hugs release, I just want to say like it was a good event, and it could only be better with nicer weather.
Okay. That's fair. And it's probably the only What the Hugs event. I think a Dark Lord was on draft there. You get some Dark Lit if you want it. Or maybe that was a record fair. One of the two. I think it was.
The one was we went early and we were like, we can't get any of the cool stuff.
That was the record. That was the art fair.
But that was the Big Hugs release.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they threw that, one of the best parties ever, was that fucking Far and Away.
Far and Away. But then you went to the other. That was something. But Far and Away, yeah.
Far and Away was really good. And all their friends came. And it was all these killer beers. And it was at some spot, like, over by Millennium Park or something.
Yeah.
It was very good.
I think Strong Beer Time, maybe some more fire pits, maybe some, like, heat lamps next year. They had food. They had hammer slogging.
That's the thing where you got the block of wood with the nails.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they had some games. They didn't let kids come in there, which was a little surprising for how, like, family friendly the patio often is, so I don't know why.
No, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it as someone who doesn't have a kid. I'm okay with it, but it was kind of like surprising that they didn't.
No, I'm okay with it. I mean, I love my kid, but I'm okay with not taking my kid. Yeah, I think maybe charge for it, have some more lager friends, have an option, have some fancy cups. Whatever gets me to the fancy cup edition of this party. And then maybe some indoor-outdoor maybe vibration.
Pay extra if you want a fancy cup.
Yeah, fancy cups, indoor-outdoor.
Tap all the beers.
Tap all the beers and maybe have a few more friends come. Mm-hmm. Right? And then boom. So, and this is the first one, so.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be fine.
You know, make sure the temperature's warm.
And then order up some.
Phone Mother Nature.
Call up the alderman of Bowmanville and order us some good weather.
But then, yeah, we went over Spiteful. Busy there. No seats. Stood around a barrel.
I like Spiteful. They're pet friendly. See a lot of cool dogs in there.
And stood around a barrel and had a mild ale. Probably the most boring beer you could get, but it felt like in line with the dark lager theme. Like, just give me this mild. And that was good.
Sounds nice.
Yeah.
You know, come on, I got a barrel, I got a mild.
And in a fancy cup.
What do you want me to do? I mean, come on, my cup's fancy. What do you want me to do?
But that was all my week. Anything else you hit up or check out? Drink? Oh, you went to Sox Park?
Yeah, man. I went to all the parks, went to Wrigley, went to Sox Park. Just wanted to see what was going on with the beer sitch at both locations. I think Wrigley is coming around to the idea of focusing on crafts because they do have one section. I took a photo of it, but I forgot. But basically, it's their craft bar. You know how they have stations throughout the field or throughout the park. Mm-hmm. And all of them are kind of... The illusion of choice, all AB stuff. There's Mick Ultra, there's Bud Light, and there's Goose IPA. And that's the theme I saw throughout the whole park.
Okay.
And some kind of weird seltzer or cider that I've never heard of in a slim can. I think it's called Ultra or some shit. Mm. But then there's one dedicated to local craft.
Okay.
With like maybe six taps on it. Moody Tongue was there. I think Beguile was there. But yeah, so not a lot to report there. But... if you go to the bleachers, have you ever been to the bleachers at Wrigley?
I've only been in the park once in my entire life.
It's a whole nother thing. The bleachers is its own animal. It's a completely different experience. You go back there. Well, first of all, you need a ticket back there. But then all you got to really do is tell them you lost your ticket, and then they let you in. But Lagunitas is back there.
Oh, interesting.
And then there's a fucking small Cheval back there, which is it's so bizarre. No, there's no TVs. Nobody's watching the game. The bleachers are its own. It's actually a very cool scene.
But it's inside the park.
It's inside the park. It's the seats behind the outfield.
Yeah.
But the way Wrigley's set up, the concourse is behind home plate and behind, you know, third base and all that stuff. That's 100 level. And then you need access to get to the outfield. It's not like Sox Park where you could just walk freely around the whole 100 level.
Yeah.
It's like their bleachers have their own entrance, and then people stop you when you try to get to the bleacher seats because you got to walk up some steps, and there's people checking tickets and shit. It's a completely different thing. I didn't know that either because I had never been to the bleachers. So, but yeah, Wrigley's cool. What I like about Wrigley, and because Wrigley's traditionally a lot more – There's a lot more Cubs fans. So Wrigley's always full. But Wrigley, if you walk around Wrigley, there's a lot of nooks and crannies. You can make it your own Wrigley, right? Like at the end of some staircases or behind, you know, where this hidden little bar is. Or, you know, you can find little spots where it doesn't feel crowded.
Okay.
And I did like that. That was cool. So, yeah. Cheers to the Cubs, man. They lost to the Brewers when I went.
Okay.
So, and then I went to opening day on the South Side.
Okay.
South Side's totally different. You can tailgate, you know. And then they got way more beer.
Right.
So I think the new additions there are Dovetail. Dovetail's on draft there. That was pretty cool. I got the Hefeweizen. And then there's tons of Three Floyds, tons of Rev stuff. And then when you go to the Cave, I think, Beer for Ball Games from All Color is probably my favorite beer there that day.
Funky Voodoo?
Shout out to Funky Town. Funky Town is there. And Midwest Coast. Midwest Coast has a beer called Hanging Curve. It's a golden ale, and it's just for the ballpark.
Oh.
So that was cool. I got to post that picture. It's really cool. That's a really cool beer.
Nice.
Yeah. So Sox Park is a totally different experience. Yeah. I don't feel the need to sit in my seat at any of these ballparks. I like to cruise the ballpark.
Okay.
But Sox Park is a more continuous experience. You can walk around more freely with no checks of this sections. If it's 100, it's 100, and it's all the same.
Okay.
And none of that we need to get in. With a ticket over here, shit.
But we talked about in the last episode, was Vizzy still a focus?
Yeah. Fucking the Vizzy's still there. And then it's the Blue Moon Landing that's up top bar.
Oh.
500 level. That's where you can get the long hot dog.
Oh. Okay.
Long hot dogs and a different beer experience.
That's
up there.
Unfortunate still Vizzy because who is drinking that garbage?
Heavy.
It is not even a good seltzer.
I can't speak to the...
Did you go out there?
I had to go.
Was anyone there?
Well, you know what? No, I couldn't go because my ticket was 500 and I snuck in on a 100 level. So if you know how you go in there, you go in, you
have to exit.
And then you come in, they might ask for your ticket.
That's the stupidest one. That's the stupidest setup ever, that you have to go up these stairs from the 100 and then when you leave, you can't. You have to leave at a time where you're if you want to care about the game, you have to leave at a time where it's am I missing?
You can't walk out. You can't walk down the same stairs you entered on. You have to leave out the back. And then the back takes you down a ramp, and you have to enter in as if you're entering through the water level for the first time. So, and what sucks about that is that a lot of the giveaways for the game, they give away these cool little knickknacks. They often send you to the Fizzy deck to get your giveaway.
Oh. So no one goes the other way.
It's a pain. Yeah. What else about Sox Park? I was excited about the Craft Cave. It's still a Craft Cave. It's the lining cool is Craft Cave. So it's all branded in, the stupid little canoe boat and the fucking red and the little cursive lining cool letters and all that shit.
Last time I went, whoever was checking the tickets over there, was confused why people wanted to go down. They're like, no, this is, you needed special tickets, so I'm going down there. And she had to get somebody to, no, they can go down there.
That's the cave. That's why you get a 100 level ticket, so you can go have one of 80 beers, and they're all local beers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the whole reason you go.
They were confused because there's there's kind of nicer seats as you go that way.
Yeah, whatever you call them, that section. That was called the Goose Island.
Yeah.
It's in the outfield, big fat seats with TVs in them, and you have your own personal service and an island. It's more like a bubbling brook. It's not really not. But
the water feature.
Yeah. Both these teams are really bad. They both suck. So you drink a lot and you cruise the park. But there are some good options for drinks though.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all of our stops then for the past week.
I think so, man.
We got two bits of news. One, there's word that Bourbonnaise is gonna lose their brewery.
Oh man. So Brickstone Brewing
is for sale?
That's what it sounds like, man. Shout out to Sean Curry, man.
Right.
Our man about town, Mr. Sean Curry.
Is currently for sale for basically $3.5 million. And if you want to also basically buy all the IP for it, that's almost another $2
million. Yeah. So
equipment, the name, license, everything that goes into that.
$5 million all in, and you can own yourself Brickstone Brewery.
I bet you could say five, because that would be more like 5.5, but I bet if you're like 5 million, take it or leave it.
I got 4.9 cash. Take it or leave it.
They'd take it.
Yeah, they probably would take it.
Because if you're selling this brewery, it must not be doing that well.
I wonder,
you wouldn't sell. Unless you're like Greg the Halls and you're like, I'm out. I've done this for all these years.
It could be. Or like, but
that's, you would just keep it rolling.
There's a trend going around of like people of retirement age just selling their businesses, right? Because they just want to retire.
Right.
Like, what was that cool pizza joint in Logan where they just closed at the last minute? But it's because the owners were living in Cali the whole time.
Oh, that's right.
I go there a lot too. They do a PB&J.
Boiler Room.
Yeah, the Boiler Room.
Yeah, I don't like that place.
So no, much, but yeah, cash only, not in slices.
Everyone else loved that, and I did not like it.
Yeah,
but I had a very bad pizza one time.
Oh, that's so. Too bad. Oh, but yeah, they sold their business out of nowhere. Maybe because the owners were super old. Maybe that, and they were just looking to get out. Maybe that was it.
I guess, but we were talking about Bermenaise, and the Bears have left there. They used to do preseasons there, and I mm-hmm. don't believe they're doing there anymore, and they're just doing it where they usually practice now. They were like, kind of like, screw this is too far.
Right, because where's, Bourbonnais is from downtown. Bourbonnais is probably like 40 miles, might be 50.
Right, and so we're saying, like, that's not that far. Because you go out to a lot of these west burbs, like Aurora.
It's closer than Aurora, yeah.
Right, or going down to Joliet, that's farther.
Yeah.
But there's 100 things to do between leaving Chicago and going to Joliet.
That's true.
Versus you leave Chicago and go to Bourbonnais, there's not much there. Like, you're going to go to a brew pub? Just to go to a brew pub?
No. Yeah, I think that's true. If you go to Brickstone, you can hit the stuff in Tinley. But
I think when I went there, I talked about the idea, like, when you're driving to Bourbonnais, there's a rest stop. Like, you don't drive to Joliet and there's a rest stop on the highway or the tollway.
It feels more remote than the other.
When you see a rest stop, you're like, breweries. I'm far. I may not make it back. I need a rest stop.
I need to get out and stretch. Check my tires. Man, fucker, I need to rotate my tires.
The dog's got to pee. We got
yeah. It was, I want to say that was the old, it was a Greek family. We went down there, and they had the restaurant across the street. I think the restaurant and the brew pub came first, and then the big production facility. And it was one of those crews, it's a can brewery, so they do really big numbers in, like, chain grocery stores. And then they were making the house beer for McCormick Place. They do the McCormick Place Pale.
Okay.
Brickstone, they had pretty consistent branding.
Brickstone beers were pretty good.
I like Brickstone. And I didn't go out of my way to necessarily get Brickstone because they didn't necessarily feel local. But they didn't feel hyper-local, you know, in the way that the stuff... Well, now our definition of local, the last few years since the pandemic has changed because we leave a lot more. But it feels like a once-in-a-blue-moon kind of brewery for us. To get as far as drinking their stuff.
Yeah, and like you talk about their branding being consistent or looking nice, it also leads to maybe a little boring.
Mm.
That you're like, well, I think I had the yellow one. Do I want the red one or do I want this one with this monster truck on it?
They're all variations of hoppy styles, right? Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think Rev might fall into some of that. That's why they did the refresh on the Deepwood stuff. Because after a while... I think, well, you know, that's one of the hallmarks of craft beer. It's like it's constantly changing, right?
Yeah.
And here you are with your, which makes sense if you're selling to stores, chain stores, your Targets, your, I don't know, Myers, you know, Jewel Osco or whatever, that all these things look the same. That makes sense in that area.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense much outside of that, though.
Right. Yeah. Especially when you don't have a easy to get to tap room that people can try different things and be like, oh, I like the Golden. I'm going to get that one.
Yeah, you look at Pipeworks or Half Acre, they don't give a fuck what the last label looked like. Every, you know.
Right. Yeah. But then Sketchbook, they have a brand that's consistent, but they have two tap rooms where people are in there drinking all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Are more than happy to kind of go after their beer.
Also true. I wonder why they're selling. And I wonder what happens to it, because You don't buy something like that where there's a brew pub across the street from a production camp facility, all ready to go, all turnkey. You don't think you buy that and then just say, okay, we're putting up condos. Or we're making a music venue.
And it's a restaurant.
I think you buy that with the intention of having a brewery. So I wonder who buys it. And do they keep making Brickstone stuff?
Altar.
Oh, well.
Noon Whistle or Altar or
Pollyanna.
They're coming.
I'm guessing more Pollyanna or Altar is going to be number four on their, number four in their lineup.
Because that would be, you have to. You're going in ready to brew beer.
Yeah.
Run a restaurant. Somehow have salespeople that are out there selling beer too. And you're either taking the whole name or you're coming in with your name and kind of being like, okay, we just brew more Altar and get it in the market on the South Illinois.
Yeah, basically, so everything from, Kankakee down to U of I or whatever.
Maybe Sean Curry let me know this movie, Sketchbooks.
Sketchbook number three, on the way,
way over there.
Good for them. Yeah, we were saying, it's weird because it's not a mileage thing. It's not far. It feels further than it is. We talked about the book from Bemiscus that had all the breweries in the region, Chicagoland region, and Brickstone wasn't in it, even though Brickstone's closer than Two Brothers. But for some reason, maybe it is all the breweries you can hit on the way to Two Brothers. Mm-hmm. You can hit way more breweries on the way to Two Brothers and if you hit five on the way there, you get five different ones on the way back if you want.
Right.
You can't do that if you go into Brickstone.
It takes like an hour and a half to get to Crystal Lake Brewing.
Yeah.
But yet.
Closer.
I would go there before I would go out to Bourbon Ace.
That's true.
Which is crazy.
So it's all a perception thing, but because it's not that far. It definitely feels the furthest.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. It feels the furthest away when it's not.
Yeah. It's messed up. I don't know what to say about that. But anyway.
But cheers to them. I had a good time out there. My man Josh Riley, who used to write for the Kankakee Journal. We hung out with Josh a few times. He's the reason I went out there. Went out there a couple times. I think I did a post on there. And then went back for one of their Barrel Age releases. Oh, but hanging on the Kankakee River, just fucking chilling. I've had good times at that brewery and in that area. So
okay. And then out that way and back to Indiana again. Just want to mention Dark Lord Day is happening May 20th, which we realize is right at the beginning of Illinois Craft Beer Week. Which Illinois Craft Beer Week starts on that Friday, and then the biggest event to happen basically that weekend is Dark Lord Day. And maybe we speculated why they moved it. Maybe it was because people were like, now we got to do the Dark Lord Day thing the next day if there's other breweries pouring.
That's interesting. Because I remember one of my favorite beer weeks, and I don't know if it was still Chicago Craft Beer Week yet or not. My favorite beer weeks was Beer in the Glass was...
It was
Beer in the Glass, Dark Lord Day, and the Henna release.
You almost died.
It was ridiculous, but it was so cool. I mean, now that I had survived it, it was such a cool 3-day run because, like you said, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is just complete fucking ridiculousness. Completely ridiculous. And it was so cool. And I think what's this joint across the street from Haymarket? Not Au Cheval, but the spot next door to Au Cheval. The Lone Wolf.
Yeah.
So Lone Wolf has eight or nine Floyd's taps all the time. You could borrow from the Haymarket playbook. Haymarket likes to do a mini Phobab at Haymarket. You could have done a mini Dark Lord Day at Lone Wolf, made it part of Beer Week, and have some excitement around something cool, something new with a brewery that we all go nuts over.
Sunday.
You
could still do it.
Right. I mean, we talked about all our places that we'd rather have beer under glass instead of the train station. But then also, man, you gotta pick up on some of those synergies so that people are still excited. We talked about the Dovetail and Beguile Party and how that's in the same general time frame as this Craft Beer Week.
Day after Craft Beer Week ends, you could have started it on Dark Lord Day, although it's not Illinois. a lot of people in Chicago or Illinois think of Three Floyds as an Illinois brewery, or like has roots in, you know, it started around the same time as a lot of this new wave did. So it feels like a very Chicago brewery to some people. Could have started on the Saturday, ended it with Beguile's thing, threw in beer in a glass in the middle.
Yeah.
Just had it like a big kind of like keep that rolling.
Yeah. Have something where, you know, people who participate at pick a bar in the city and have say, hey, if you enter here and if you buy these beers at this bar, you enter some tickets and then we'll shuttle you down to Dark Lord Day or something like that.
Yeah, could have a good shuttle going. Like, doesn't Reggie's do a shuttle?
Reggie's, the Beer Temple did a shuttle for years. Yeah, I mean, there were ways to pull in other big established events and include them somehow into the Illinois Craft Beer Week. And it feels like they just weren't bought. They just felt they didn't feel they needed to do it. So that's too bad.
If you want to pay us to be consultants,
we can fix it. I mean, we know.
Gladly come on board.
We know True North, you know, and we know this area. And, you know, we've been throwing out ideas for weeks, 2 weeks in a row now. So.
We'll just consult. I don't want to have to do any work. We're just going to consult.
Drop the. Move this over here. Okay.
There. What are you doing that for?
Here's your invoice.
Let's change that to blue instead of yellow, and we're good to go.
I have some thoughts on this blue.
Dark Lord Day is happening. Nick said the VIP tickets have sold out. They're still...
VIP tickets are gone.
It's like a 10,000-person event. 50,000. I don't know. Everyone in the state of Indiana could probably go to it, kind of capacity this year. I'm interested to hear. I'll be in Montana, but you're probably going to go.
It's funny that you're going to Montana.
Yeah. I'm interested to hear what it looks like this year as has the shine wore off of Three Floyds a little bit to not get people to go, especially post pandemic. People would, I don't know, bring their fucking RVs.
Yeah, there were a couple of drive through Dark Lord days. How does that impact the real thing coming back? I don't know.
Yeah.
We saw this year that, you know, Bourbon County might not be trending the way it was, right? Like, instead of it being hard to get, the shit's like half price at a lot of Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall ever seeing that. So
yeah. There's less interest to buy Dark Lord. Does it make it to the stores for the first time?
That's true.
If that happens, we don't know if it's going to happen. But
it is such a cult thing that it never made it to the store. The only day you could buy it was Dark Lord Day. How does this? Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if Dark Lord is the same as it ever was, or if you see it shift the way we've seen other things that have been fixtures in the scene shift. You know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But all right, I think that's gonna do it before we have to open another can of this 4x4. It feels dangerous. 93 octane. Sleeping giant over there.
Not
in
bad.
St. Charles.
Not bad at all. Cool label, good beer. It's fun, man. Just a fun beer, man. Fun 4-pack.
Yeah. So check them out. But that's going to do it for this episode. Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Hey, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass. Chicago Beer Pass Instagram, website, everything's there. Are we way over?
We've rambled 53 minutes, Brad.
Rambled on for too long. All right. Take care.
Cheers.